I wasn't always known as Cleaver. Once I had a name, a real one, but that was before Tarsinus V, before the meat hooks and processing floors and the oxygen credits that determined whether I'd wake up the next morning. In the underhives of Hive Tertius, they called me the Knife, a simple enforcer for the Crimson Fangs. Not particularly creative, but it got the job done. Intimidation doesn't require poetry. The processing floor stretched before me, a vast cathedral of industrial butchery. Hanging carcasses swayed on ancient conveyor systems, their pale flesh glistening under the harsh lumens that flickered with the temperamental power supply. The hooks creaked as they moved along rusted tracks, a sound that had become as natural to me as breathing, a luxury I couldn't take for granted anymore. My designation was Prisoner 7734 Epsilon, but nobody used the full thing. Too many syllables wasted precious breath, and breath was currency here. Cleaver was simpler, earned after my first week when I showed a particular aptitude with the massive servo cutters. Those ancient tools were older than most of the guards, their machine spirits temperamental and hungry. They'd taken fingers from careless workers before. I still had all of mine, which was something of a miracle on Tarsinus V. The processing facility had been built during the early colonization period, back when this world might have had a future beyond penal servitude. Now it supplied meat to the Imperial Guard regiments raised from our prison population, the lucky ones who escaped the butcher's floor for the battlefield. Sometimes I wondered which fate was worse. My station was near the center of the eastern processing floor where primary cuts were separated from the main carcass. The work was mechanical, repetitive: attach hook, position carcass, activate servo cutter, separate meat from bone, repeat. The monotony was broken only by the occasional inspection or the screams from the punishment block. The oxygen meter on my wrist blinked yellow, a warning. I had approximately 6 hours of breathable air remaining in my account, enough to finish my shift, but not enough for comfort, not enough to sleep peacefully. The administratum had calculated precisely how much oxygen a human needed to perform labor without dying, then reduced that amount by 12% for efficiency. Overhead, the ancient ventilation system wheezed and groaned. Somewhere within those massive ducts, tech priests who had long ago surrendered their humanity maintained the life-giving machinery. Rumors claimed they had physically fused with the cooling systems, their flesh becoming one with the refrigeration units. I'd glimpsed one once, during a rare system failure, more pipes than person, frost forming on mechadendrites that might once have been limbs. Its eyes had glowed red in the darkness, the only indication that anything human remained. The meat arrived at my station in a steady stream. I never questioned where it came from. The official manifest claimed it was grox, supplemented by local fauna. The texture sometimes suggested otherwise, but curiosity killed more than cats on Tarsinus V. Questions about the meat's origin had a way of making prisoners disappear, only for production quotas to mysteriously increase the following day. As I worked, I caught sight of Overseer Drac making his rounds, shock maul tapping rhythmically against his thigh. His uniform was impeccable despite the blood and grime that permeated everything in the facility. The small crimson stripe on his collar betrayed his former position, an Astra Militarum Commissar demoted for excessive cruelty, which meant he'd done something truly remarkable. The Imperium rarely punished its servants for being too harsh. Drac paused at my station, eyes flicking to my oxygen meter, then to my production count. His thin lips curved into what might have been a smile on a human face. He gestured to the carcass I was processing, then to me, pantomiming a transition from one to the other. His favorite joke, suggesting that tomorrow I might be on the hook instead of working it. I kept my face carefully blank. Reactions only encouraged him. The overseer moved on, but his presence lingered like a bad smell. There were stories about Drac, about prisoners who'd crossed him and ended up on punishment detail in the deepest sublevels, where the oxygen was thin and the work brutal. Some never returned, others came back changed, with vacant eyes and trembling hands. They never spoke about what happened down there. They never spoke much at all afterward. My shift stretched on as it always did. 10 hours of continuous labor, broken only by a 15-minute nutrition period where we consumed gray protein paste that tasted faintly of chemicals and despair. The paste was technically free, but the water to wash it down cost oxygen credits. Most of us went thirsty. The facility operated in continuous shifts, the work never ceasing. When one group of prisoners finished, another took their place. The meat hooks never stopped moving. The servo cutters never fell silent. The refrigeration units hummed eternally, maintained by those tech priest abominations who had forgotten what it meant to be separate from the machines they tended. As my shift neared its end, I noticed something unusual about the carcass that arrived at my station. A marking on the pale flesh, partially obscured by the processing fluid. It looked almost like a tattoo, the kind that marked Imperial Guard recruits from the northern compounds. I'd seen similar markings on the arms of new arrivals before they learned to keep covered in the presence of the butchers. I hesitated, servo cutter poised above the meat. The conveyor belt continued its relentless movement, and the moment passed. The marking disappeared beneath my blade, lost forever in the production quota. I told myself it was nothing, a strange pattern in the meat grain, or perhaps a brand from the livestock pens, nothing more. My oxygen meter blinked red as I completed my final cuts. 2 hours of breathable air remained, enough to return to my cell block, complete the required hygiene protocols, and perhaps have a few minutes to myself before sleep claimed me. If I was efficient, if I didn't waste breath on unnecessary movement or, Emperor forbid, conversation. The payment terminal at the exit processed my production count, adding oxygen credits to my account. The screen flickered green as my meter updated. 8 hours, enough to survive until my next shift, not enough to feel secure. Never enough for that. Penitence block loomed ahead as I left the processing facility, a massive hab structure that housed thousands of prisoners in cells barely large enough to lie down in. The building had originally been designed as temporary housing for the construction crews that built the first Imperial installations on Tarsinus V. Now it was permanent home to those the Imperium had deemed expendable but still useful. My cell was on the 42nd level, a small mercy. The higher levels had marginally better air circulation, fewer vermin, and less frequent flooding during the acid rain seasons. I'd earned the assignment through years of consistent work and by informing on fellow prisoners who planned an escape attempt. Their oxygen accounts had been terminated. My floor assignment had been upgraded. Survival on Tarsinus V required such calculations. The narrow cot creaked as I lowered myself onto it, muscles aching from the day's labor. The cell was barely 2 meters by 1 meter, with a toilet unit that doubled as a sink. Luxury compared to the isolation chambers in the lower levels. I'd spent 3 weeks there once after fighting with another prisoner over an oxygen credit discrepancy. The chamber had been too small to stand up or lie down completely. I'd emerged with a permanent curve to my spine and a newfound appreciation for my regular cell. As exhaustion pulled me toward unconsciousness, I noticed something on my forearm, a thin red line freshly scabbed over, a new scar one I couldn't remember receiving. The processing floor was dangerous, certainly, but injuries were usually memorable. This one looked surgical, precise, almost deliberate. It wasn't the first unexplained mark I'd discovered upon waking. They had been appearing with increasing frequency over the past few months, small incisions on my arms, legs, once on my abdomen. Always neat, always healing cleanly. Always accompanied by gaps in my memory, nights where sleep seemed deeper than natural. The oxygen meter on my wrist continued its steady countdown. 7 hours and 43 minutes remaining. I closed my eyes, trying to ignore the new scar and the questions it raised. Questions were dangerous on Tarsinus V. Especially questions about what happened while you slept, about why you sometimes woke with your muscles aching in ways that standard labor couldn't explain, about why Overseer Drac sometimes looked at you with that knowing smile. The meat hooks never stopped moving in the processing facility. The work never ended. And lately I'd begun to wonder if Drac's favorite joke wasn't a joke at all. If tomorrow it really might be me on the hook, or perhaps in some small way it already was. The first unusual shipment arrived 3 weeks after I noticed the scar on my forearm. I stood at my station, servo cutter humming in my grip, when the conveyor lurched forward with its latest offering. The pallid flesh that hung before me was wrong. Not in any way I could immediately identify. The shape was correct, the weight distribution normal, but something about its coloration struck me as distinctly unnatural. Grok's meat typically presented a deep maroon hue, while the native Tarsonian fauna tended toward a grayish purple. This was almost translucent in places, with a sickly yellow undertone. I hesitated before making the first cut. The facility's ancient lumens flickered overhead, casting strange shadows across the processing floor. For a moment, I could have sworn the meat twitched beneath my blade. Not the normal contraction of cooling muscle tissue, but a deliberate movement, as if responding to the cold metal's touch. I blinked hard, attributing the illusion to fatigue and poor lighting. The cut revealed stranger anomalies. Embedded within the tissue was what appeared to be a fragment of fabric, the distinctive olive drab weave of Imperial Guard fatigues. I extracted it carefully, examining the scrap. A partial insignia remained visible, the crossed las rifles of the Tarsonian 31st Penal Legion. My stomach tightened. The Penal Legion recruited exclusively from our prison population, taking the strongest workers for the Emperor's meat grinder instead of the butcher's block. I glanced around nervously, then slipped the fabric into my pocket. Evidence was dangerous, but ignorance potentially fatal. The meat continued its journey down the line, my portion of the work complete. I tried to forget what I'd seen, but more anomalies followed in subsequent shipments. A section of flesh bearing the unmistakable scarring pattern of Lasburn tissue. Another with the circular indentation characteristic of an Imperial Guard identification chip implant site. Most disturbing was the forearm section that arrived 3 days later, bearing a tattoo identical to the one worn by prisoner 8891 Gamma, who had disappeared after failing to meet quota the previous month. The irregularities became impossible to ignore. Twice I found what could only be augmetic attachment points, the distinctive metal interface ports used for basic military-grade bionics. One carcass contained a partially dissolved Aquila medallion in what would have been its stomach cavity had it truly been livestock. The metal was corroded, but the design unmistakable, standard issue to guard officers. I maintained my silence, my production. Questions meant death on Tarsonis 5, but awareness might mean survival. I began cataloging the anomalies mentally, tracking patterns. The strange meat arrived most frequently following reported supply shortages or after prisoners disappeared from their shifts. The connection was impossible to ignore, yet acknowledging it seemed equally impossible. My oxygen meter blinked yellow as I processed a particularly troubling specimen. This one contained what appeared to be a partially digested data slate fragment, the kind used by administrative personnel. I was contemplating this discovery when the room began to spin. The servo cutter slipped from my grasp, clattering against the processing table. My vision narrowed, darkness creeping in from the periphery. I fought to remain standing to maintain consciousness, but the blackness engulfed me completely. I awoke on the cold rockcrete floor of my station. According to my oxygen meter, 3 hours had passed. My production count had fallen dangerously behind quota. Most alarmingly, my left forearm was wrapped in a blood-soaked bandage I had no memory of applying. The other workers continued their tasks around me as if nothing had happened, as if a man hadn't collapsed and remained unconscious for a significant portion of his shift. With trembling fingers, I peeled back the edge of the bandage. Beneath it lay a precise incision, approximately 8 centimeters long, running along the underside of my forearm. The wound had been closed with neat surgical staples, the surrounding skin disinfected. This was no accidental injury. This was deliberate professional medical work. I replaced the bandage and forced myself to stand. No one acknowledged my awakening. No one questioned my bloodied arm. Worker to my left, a man called Scraper who had been processing meat beside me for over 2 years, didn't even glance in my direction. His eyes remained fixed on his work, his movements mechanical and precise. When I attempted to catch his attention with a deliberate cough, he simply adjusted his position to create more distance between us. The conveyor continued its relentless movement. The meat hooks never stopped. I had quota to meet, oxygen to earn. Questions could wait, survival could not. I picked up my servo cutter and returned to work, ignoring the throbbing pain in my arm and the terrifying implications of its condition. That night in my cell, I carefully removed the bandage and examined the wound more thoroughly. The incision was deepest at the center, tapering at both ends. Whatever had been done required access to the interior of my arm. Had something been removed, implanted? The skin around the staples was unnaturally clean, almost waxy in appearance. I had seen similar work before, on the rare occasions when tech priests visited the facility to repair particularly valuable prisoners deemed worth the medical resources. Sleep evaded me that cycle. I lay on my narrow cot, oxygen meter counting down the precious minutes of breathable air, mind racing with possibilities, each more disturbing than the last. The most terrifying aspect wasn't the surgical precision of the wound, it was the complete lack of acknowledgement from anyone else. Either they hadn't seen me collapse, hadn't noticed my unconscious form on the floor for 3 hours, hadn't observed the blood seeping through my sleeve, or they had been instructed to ignore it. I met Mago's biologist Xerxes for the first time the following week. The tech priest arrived during mid-shift, his entrance marked by the unusual sound of the main processing floor doors opening outside of scheduled delivery times. His appearance was striking even by Mechanica standards. His robes were a deep crimson rather than the traditional red, and his augmentations focused primarily on his sensory apparatus. Where his eyes should have been, a complex array of lenses clicked and whirred, adjusting constantly as he surveyed the facility. His lower face remained organic, though pallid and rarely used, while his arms had been replaced with an assortment of specialized appendages that suggested surgical rather than industrial applications. The Magos moved methodically through the processing floor, pausing at various stations to examine the meat with his optical array. He carried no data slate, recorded no visible notes, yet seemed to be conducting a thorough inspection. Behind him trailed three servitors, their lobotomized forms hunched beneath the weight of empty cryo containers. These weren't the standard industrial servitors used for heavy lifting throughout the facility. These were more refined, their augmentations more precise, their remaining organic components better preserved. I kept my head down as the Magos approached my station, but couldn't resist stealing glances at the servitors. The one nearest to me had features that triggered a sense of familiarity. The shape of its jaw, the setting of its augmetic eyes within the orbital sockets. It resembled Prisoner 5512 Delta, who had worked the station across from mine until disappearing after a particularly harsh evaluation from Overseer Drack 3 months prior. The Magos paused at my station longer than the others. I could feel the mechanical gaze of his optical array focused on me, specifically on my bandaged forearm. A mechadendrite extended from within his robes, its tip splitting into delicate manipulators that gently lifted a section of meat from my processing table. The appendage retracted, bringing the sample close to his sensory array for examination. After a moment of scrutiny, the Magos made a gesture to one of the servitors. The lobotomized creature shuffled forward, opening its cryo container. The Magos deposited the sample inside with surprising care, then sealed the unit. He continued this process at several other stations, collecting specific samples that appeared indistinguishable from the regular meat to my untrained eye. Before departing, the Magos paused again at my station. His optical array focused first on my face, then on my identification number tattooed on my neck, then finally on my oxygen meter. One of his mechadendrites extended toward the device, interfacing with it briefly. The display flickered, then stabilized, showing a 12-hour increase in my oxygen credit. The message was clear: my silence had value. The Magos departed with his servitors and their containers of carefully selected meat samples. No explanation was provided for his visit, though Overseer Drack announced it had been a routine quality inspection. The frequency of these inspections increased over the following months. The Magos appeared every 30 days with mechanical precision, always departing with filled cryo containers, always accompanied by servitors whose features nagged at my memory. As the inspections became routine, so too did the disappearances. Prisoner 4411 Alpha failed to meet quota 3 cycles in a row and vanished after his performance review. He was replaced by a new arrival the following day. Prisoner 6233 Omega suffered a seizure on the processing floor, collapsing much as I had done. Unlike me, he never returned to his station. The official record listed him as transferred to medical facility, but no such facility existed on Tarsinus 5, at least none accessible to prisoners. Most disturbing was the disappearance of Scraper. His performance had been exemplary, his behavior compliant. He had given the overseers no reason for punishment. Yet one cycle, he simply wasn't at his station. His replacement, a nervous man with fresh prison tattoos, claimed to have been assigned there directly from intake processing. No explanation was provided for Scraper's absence. No one asked for one. The meat shipments continued uninterrupted despite rumors of supply shortages that reached us through newly assigned prisoners. The outer settlements were reportedly experiencing significant reductions in their protein allotments. Agricultural hive worlds in neighboring systems had suffered poor harvests. The Adeptus Munitorum had diverted Grox herds to priority war zones, yet our conveyor belts remained full, the hooks never empty, the work constant. I began tracking the timing of disappearances against meat shipment schedules. A pattern emerged, impossible to ignore yet equally impossible to accept. Prisoners vanished. 3 days later, shipments of the unusual pallid meat arrived. The Magos collected his samples. The cycle continued. My own blackouts increased in frequency. I would be working at my station, then suddenly find myself regaining consciousness hours later, always with new surgical scars hidden beneath bloodied bandages. A thin line along my thigh, a circular incision on my abdomen, a series of puncture marks on my shoulder blade, discovered only when I managed to glimpse my reflection in a polished section of machinery. Each time I awoke, my oxygen meter showed a generous credit addition, payment for services I couldn't remember rendering. My production quota was always met despite the lost time, as if someone or something had continued my work while my mind was absent. The most recent blackout had been the longest. I had lost an entire shift, awakening in my cell with no memory of leaving the processing floor or making the journey back to Penitence Block. The new scar ran along my spine, detectable only by the pain that flared when I moved and the stiffness of the bandage beneath my prisoner's jumpsuit. My oxygen credit had increased by a full 24 hours, more than I had ever received for a standard shift. That night, as I lay on my cot contemplating my situation, I made a connection I had been avoiding. The Magos wasn't inspecting our production, he was harvesting specific samples. The servitors weren't carrying empty containers into the facility, they were delivering something else. The meat wasn't coming from off-world sources experiencing shortages, it was being produced right here from resources that never diminished because they were constantly replenished. Resources like us, resources like me. Overseer Drak's favorite joke echoed in my mind. Someday we would be on the hooks, but the truth was worse than his taunt suggested. We already were. Piece by piece, organ by organ, we fed the Imperium's endless hunger while still breathing, still working, still earning our oxygen. The hooks never stopped, the meat never ended, and neither did we, not completely, not all at once. The realization should have horrified me, should have driven me to rebellion or madness. Instead, I felt a strange calm settle over me. Understanding brought clarity, if not comfort. I examined my oxygen meter, watching the seconds tick away. 20 hours remaining, enough to survive until my next shift, my next blackout, my next contribution to the endless meat supply of Tarsinus V. Tomorrow I would return to the processing floor. I would take up my servo cutter. I would meet my quota. I would earn my oxygen. And when the Magos returned for his next inspection, I would stand at my station, processing the flesh of those who had failed or fallen, knowing that someday, piece by piece, I would join them on the hooks. Meat shipments would continue to arrive. The flesh would continue to twitch beneath our blades, and none of us would speak of it, for speaking meant breathing, and breathing cost oxygen we couldn't spare. The stim tablets felt heavy in my palm. 5 small white discs, each no larger than my thumbnail, stolen from the Medici station during my last shift. The theft had been opportunistic, a moment when the attending servitor malfunctioned, its optical sensors flickering offline for precisely 18 seconds. Long enough to reach beneath the counter and palm the medication reserved for overseers suffering from fatigue during extended shifts. I hadn't slept in 36 hours. My body ached with exhaustion, but my mind remained sharp, focused on a singular purpose, to stay awake through the night cycle. The blackouts always came during sleep. The surgical scars always appeared after periods of unconsciousness. Logic dictated that remaining awake might reveal what happened during those lost hours. The cell block's lighting had dimmed to its nocturnal setting, casting everything in a sickly amber glow that barely penetrated the shadows. My oxygen meter read 11 hours, more than sufficient for my experiment. I placed one stim tablet under my tongue, feeling it dissolve with a bitter chemical taste that spread through my mouth and down my throat. The effect was almost immediate. My pulse quickened, my senses sharpened, and the fatigue that had been crushing me moments before receded like a tide. I positioned myself on my cot, back against the wall, eyes fixed on the narrow gap beneath my cell door where the corridor's dim light bled through. From this position, I could observe any movement outside while remaining undetected. The stim coursed through my system, making it impossible to remain completely still. My fingers tapped silently against my thigh, counting seconds, then minutes, then hours. The facility's night cycle progressed with the same industrial rhythm as its day operations. Distant machinery hummed, ventilation systems wheezed. Occasionally, a guard's footsteps echoed down the corridor during routine patrols. Nothing unusual, nothing to explain the scars or the blackouts until the fourth hour. The corridor lights dimmed further, transitioning from amber to a deep crimson that barely illuminated the space beyond my cell. This was not part of the standard lighting cycle. In the 3 years I had been processing meat on Tarsinus V, the lights had never changed to this hue. My pulse quickened, not from the stim, but from anticipation. Shadows moved beyond my door, different from the familiar silhouettes of prison guards. These moved with precise, deliberate motions, not the casual swagger of overseers or the shuffling gait of exhausted prisoners. Through the narrow gap, I glimpsed the hem of crimson robes sweeping across the floor. Mechanicus Red, the color of Mago Xerxes and his attendants. The lock mechanism on my cell door clicked, disengaging without the usual electronic authorization tone. The door slid open with pneumatic precision, revealing three robed figures. Their faces were obscured by elaborate masks fashioned to resemble skull-faced cogitator units, eye lenses glowing with the same crimson as the corridor lights. These were not the servitors that typically accompanied the Magos on his inspection rounds. These figures moved with purpose, with agency. I feigned sleep, keeping my breathing deep and regular despite the stim racing through my system. Through slitted eyes, I observed as one figure approached, a mechadendrite extending from beneath its robes. The appendage hovered over my chest, emitting a soft blue scanning light that passed over my body from head to toe. A second figure consulted a data slate, nodding in apparent satisfaction at whatever information the scan revealed. The third figure produced a device I recognized from the Medici station, a pneumatic injector used to administer sedatives to violent prisoners. My muscles tensed involuntarily. The stim in my system screamed for movement, for flight, but experience had taught me that resistance meant punishment. Punishment meant reduced oxygen. Reduced oxygen meant death. The injector pressed against my neck, a soft hiss. Cold liquid entered my bloodstream, battling with the stim already there. My consciousness wavered but did not surrender. The sedative had been calibrated for a non-stimulated subject. It dulled my senses, slowed my reactions, but the stim tablet kept me from slipping completely under. The figures lifted me from my cot with surprising strength, supporting my seemingly unconscious form between them. They carried me from the cell into the crimson-lit corridor where I saw the true extent of the operation. Dozens of robed figures moved methodically through penitence block, entering cells, emerging with limp prisoners. Mobile Medici units waited at intervals, their surgical appendages gleaming in the dim light. This was no random selection. This was a harvest. They transported me not to the processing floor where I spent my waking hours, but deeper into the facility, down service corridors I had never seen. My limbs hung limp, my eyes nearly closed, my breathing carefully regulated to maintain the illusion of sedation. We descended through access ways and freight elevators, the air growing progressively colder, the omnipresent hum of machinery louder. The final descent brought us to a level that didn't exist on any facility schematic I had ever seen. The floor was not the standard rockcrete of the upper levels, but polished ferrocrete, immaculately clean despite the industrial nature of the facility above. The walls bore not the imperial aquila, but the skull and cog of the Adeptus Mechanicus. This was their domain, hidden beneath the prison and processing plant that the Imperium acknowledged. I was placed on a gurney, secured with restraints that bit into my wrists and ankles. The robed figures wheeled me through a series of chambers, each progressively more elaborate with technology. Cogitator banks lined the walls, their machine spirits murmuring in binary cant. Suspended animation tanks contained partial organic forms, limbs, organs, tissue masses that pulsed with artificial life. This was no simple medical facility. This was a laboratory. The central chamber revealed the truth I had suspected but feared to confirm. A vast circular room opened before me, its ceiling lost in darkness above. Around the perimeter stood cylindrical tanks, each containing a floating humanoid form in various stages of development. Vat-grown flesh engineered to resemble human meat, but these were not complete bodies. They lacked certain organs, certain muscle groups, certain bone structures. They were incomplete templates waiting to be finished. In the center of the chamber stood Mago Xerxes, his crimson robe spread around him like a pool of blood. His optical array rotated as we entered, focusing on my gurney with mechanical precision. Behind him, a prisoner I recognized was suspended in a surgical frame, unconscious but alive. Marek, a worker from the western processing floor known for his efficiency with the bone saws. His chest cavity was open, internal organs exposed under bright surgical lights. A tech priest was carefully removing something from within him, a glistening organ that pulsed in the priest's mechadendrites. The organ was transferred to a waiting servitor who carried it to one of the vat tanks. Through my half-closed eyes, I watched as the servitor deposited the harvested tissue into an access port. The incomplete form within the tank twitched as the new component was integrated into its structure. The horrifying logic of the operation became clear. The prisoners of Tarsinus V weren't being fully processed as meat. We were being partially harvested, our organs and tissues selectively removed and replaced with vat-grown substitutes. The blackouts, the surgical scars, the missing time, all evidence of our piecemeal processing. We were renewable resources, living livestock maintained for continuous harvesting. My gurney was positioned near Merrick's surgical frame. Through the sedative haze, I could see his face clearly now. His eyes were open, aware despite his immobility. They fixed on mine with recognition and grim understanding. He knew. He had pieced it together as I had perhaps witnessed similar horrors during his own failed attempt to discover the truth. The tech priests finished with Marek, closing his chest cavity with the same surgical precision evident in my own scars. As they moved away, I noticed something unusual, a small data slate secured to the surgical frame. It contained information about Marek's harvesting schedule, organ quality assessments, and replacement protocols. Evidence. Proof of what was happening beneath the processing floor. The robed figures turned their attention to me, preparing surgical implements. My window of opportunity was measured in seconds. The stim tablet had kept me conscious but was fading rapidly against the sedative. With a burst of desperate strength, I broke free of one wrist restraint, lunging toward the data slate. My fingers closed around it just as alarms blared throughout the chamber. Chaos erupted. Tech priests converged on my gurney. Mechadendrites lashed out, restraining my limbs with painful precision. The data slate remained clutched in my hand, pressed against my chest as they fought to subdue me. In the struggle, I activated the device, desperately attempting to transfer its data to my prisoner identification chip. A long shot, but the chips contained basic data storage capabilities for work assignments and oxygen credit tracking. Pain exploded across my consciousness as something sharp pierced my neck. Another sedative, stronger than the first. The stim in my system couldn't fight it. Darkness crept in from the edges of my vision. The last thing I saw was Mago Xerxes looming over me, his optical array focusing on the data slate in my hand. His lower face, the only organic part remaining, twisted into what might have been amusement. I awakened in my cell, the familiar discomfort of my cot beneath me. For a moment, I wondered if the entire experience had been a stim-induced hallucination. Then the pain registered sharp, surgical pain across my torso. I lifted my prisoner jumpsuit to find fresh bandages wrapped around my midsection, covering what felt like multiple incision sites. The data slate was gone, of course. No evidence remained of my nocturnal journey except the wounds and the fading traces of chemicals in my system. My oxygen meter had been adjusted upward by 15 hours, payment for unwilling donations. Rolling onto my side, I noticed something unexpected on the floor beside my cot. A small white disc, a stim tablet identical to those I had stolen. Beside it lay a torn piece of bandage with writing in what appeared to be blood, livestock together. The handwriting matched what I had seen on Merrick's work orders. I concealed the tablet and message beneath my thin mattress as footsteps approached my cell. The door slid open to reveal Overseer Drak, Shock Maul tapping against his thigh. His eyes moved from my face to my midsection where the bandages were visible beneath my partially open jumpsuit. His lips curved into that familiar, not quite human smile. He didn't speak. He didn't need to. His eyes said everything. I knew what happened during the night cycle. I knew that he knew. And I knew that knowledge without power was merely another burden to carry, like the oxygen meter counting down on my wrist or the fresh surgical scars beneath my bandages. The meat hooks never stopped moving in the processing facility above. The work never ended, and now I understood why. We weren't just processing meat, we were the meat harvested piece by piece, our bodies continuously renewed through vat-grown replacements, our minds regularly sedated to prevent us from connecting the pieces. As Drak left, I felt the stim tablet pressing against my back through the thin mattress. Marek had found a way to resist, to remember, to communicate. Perhaps there were others like us, aware of the nocturnal harvest, waiting for an opportunity. The Mechanicus laboratory required secrecy to function. Secrecy required control. Control required predictability. I would not be predictable again. I would not sleep when expected. I would not forget what I had seen. And someday I would return to that hidden laboratory beneath the blood drains of the processing floor, not as livestock, but as the butcher I had become. The day of the Adeptus Munitorum inspection arrived with the same grinding inevitability as the meat hooks that circled our processing floor. I had been planning for this moment since my discovery in the underground laboratory, carefully hoarding stim tablets, memorizing patrol patterns, and identifying potential escape routes. 3 weeks of meticulous preparation, all while continuing to process the flesh of my fellow prisoners and enduring two more nocturnal harvests of my own tissue. My latest scar ran along my left calf, a neat surgical line where something had been removed and replaced. The tech priests were becoming careless with their work, leaving more obvious marks each time. Perhaps they no longer cared if we noticed. Perhaps they knew we were too broken to resist, but I wasn't broken, not completely. The inspection team arrived during mid-shift, a procession of administratum officials in pressed uniforms that had never seen a drop of blood. They moved through the facility with data slates and picked recorders, documenting production outputs and resource allocation. Their faces betrayed nothing but bureaucratic boredom, eyes glazing over at the endless rows of meat hooks and processing stations. Just another penal world production facility to them, nothing special or noteworthy, except for the lead inspector. Her uniform bore the distinctive red trim of the commissariat, and her eyes missed nothing. While her colleagues measured and recorded, she observed the workers, the overseers, the security protocols. When her gaze passed over me, I felt a momentary spark of hope. Here was someone with actual imperial authority, someone who might recognize the horror of what was happening beneath the processing floor. My plan was simple and desperate: create a distraction, break away from my station during the confusion, reach the inspection team, show them my scars. Tell them about the underground laboratory. The Adeptus Munitorum might condone many cruelties, but surely even they would balk at the systematic harvesting of prisoner organs for unauthorized purposes. The opportunity came when one of the processing servitors malfunctioned, its cutting arm swinging wildly across the floor. Workers scattered, overseers shouted. The inspection team backed against the wall, eyes wide at the sudden chaos. I abandoned my station, moving quickly through the confusion toward the commissar. 3 meters separated us, then two, then one. Her eyes locked onto mine as I approached, narrowing with suspicion rather than concern. I reached for the collar of my jumpsuit, preparing to pull it down to reveal the surgical scars across my chest. Before my fingers could grasp the fabric, a shock maul connected with my lower back. Electricity coursed through my body, muscles spasming, vision blurring. I collapsed at the commissar's feet, limbs twitching uncontrollably. Overseer Drack stood over me, shock maul still crackling with energy. The smile on his face wasn't his usual mocking grin, but something colder, more cert. He knew exactly what I had intended. He had been watching, waiting for me to make my move. The commissar looked down at me, not with horror or compassion, but with mild irritation. She addressed Drack without taking her eyes off my convulsing form, her words lost beneath the ringing in my ears. Whatever she said caused Drack's smile to widen. He nodded, then gestured to two guards who dragged me away from the inspection team. They didn't return me to my station or even to the punishment block. Instead, they took me directly to the freight elevator that led to the underground laboratory. My muscles still spasmed from the shock maul, preventing any resistance. The stim tablets I had hidden in my cheek for emergency use had been bitten through during the seizure, flooding my system with an overdose that made coherent thought nearly impossible. The laboratory was different during the day cycle, fully illuminated, sterile, bustling with activity. Tech priests moved between workstations with efficient purpose. Servitors transported specimens and equipment. The vat tanks along the perimeter pulsed with artificial life, their contents more visible in the bright light. What I had glimpsed in shadow was now revealed in all its horror. The tanks didn't contain simple meat or organ cultures. They held complete human forms, or nearly complete. Each was missing components, a limb here, an organ system there, cranial tissue elsewhere. They were being assembled piece by piece from harvested prisoner parts, combined with vat-grown tissue to create what? Servitors, combat units. The purpose remained unclear, but the methodology was unmistakable. In the center of the laboratory stood Mago's biologist Xerxes, conversing with the commissar who had led the inspection team. She had arrived ahead of me, using some other access route. Their interaction showed none of the tension that should exist between Imperial authority and a tech priest conducting unauthorized human experimentation. Instead, they reviewed data slates together, occasionally gesturing toward the VAT tanks with what appeared to be professional satisfaction. The guards secured me to an examination table, my limbs still too affected by the shock maul to offer resistance. As the stim overdose faded, clarity returned in unwelcome waves. The commissar approached my table, examining me with the clinical detachment one might show a particularly interesting specimen of insect. She ran a finger along one of my visible scars, nodding as if confirming something to herself. Magos Xerxes joined her, his optical array adjusting to focus on my face. The mechanical lenses whirred and clicked as they captured my expression, perhaps analyzing my emotional state or simply recording my features for some administrative purpose. His lower face, the only organic part visible beneath his hood, remained impassive. The truth crashed down upon me with crushing finality. There would be no Imperial intervention because this wasn't unauthorized experimentation. The Adeptus Munitorum wasn't here to investigate abuses but to evaluate production. The commissar wasn't a potential savior but a project overseer, ensuring that the meat processing facility was meeting its quotas, both the public ones and the secret ones. Magos Xerxes activated a data slate, reviewing my file with methodical precision. My harvesting history appeared on the screen, kidney tissue extracted 3 months ago replaced with VAT-grown substitute, lung section removed 6 weeks later, bone marrow harvested repeatedly, muscle tissue sampled from multiple sites. Each extraction followed by minimal recovery time before returning me to work. Maximum efficiency, minimum waste. The commissar seemed impressed by my file, pointing to specific entries that apparently exceeded expectations. My body had accepted the VAT-grown replacements with unusual compatibility. My production numbers had remained consistent despite the harvesting schedule. I was, by their metrics, an exemplary specimen, right until my attempted escape. Magos Xerxes made a notation on the data slate. My designation changed from partial harvest subject to full conversion candidate. The commissar nodded her approval before turning away, her inspection of my case complete. She had other production metrics to evaluate, other prisoners to classify. I was just one entry in an endless ledger of Imperial resources. The tech priests began their preparations. Surgical servitors arranged instruments on gleaming trays. Monitoring equipment was calibrated and attached to my limbs and head. A cranial jack was positioned near my temple, its connection port gleaming in the bright laboratory lights. This was to be no partial harvest. This was full conversion, the ultimate fate of prisoners who became problematic or whose bodies had yielded all they could in partial form. I had seen the results of full conversion on the processing floor, the mindless servitors who maintained the meat hooks. The lobotomized workers who performed the most dangerous cutting operations, the vacant-eyed drones who cleaned the blood channels. They moved with mechanical precision, their humanity reduced to vestigial reflexes and muscle memory. No consciousness, no awareness, no suffering. A tech priest approached with a tray of sedatives, preparing the first injection that would begin my transformation. In that moment, staring at the needle that would end my existence as a thinking being, I made one final, desperate attempt. I focused on my prisoner identification chip, the one piece of technology embedded in my flesh that connected to Imperial systems. Into it, I poured every ounce of will remaining, trying to trigger the emergency distress function that existed in all prisoner implants, a feature designed to alert authorities if a valuable prisoner was in danger of being lost. The needle pierced my skin, cold liquid flowed into my veins. My consciousness began to recede, darkness creeping in from the edges of my vision. The last thing I saw was Magos Xerxes leaning over me, his optical array focusing on my face as awareness slipped away. I awoke. That simple fact was miracle enough. Consciousness should have been impossible after full conversion. Yet something remained of me, thoughts, memories, sensations, but wrong. Everything was wrong. My vision was segmented, divided into quadrants with data overlays. My hearing detected frequencies beyond normal human range. I could not feel my limbs in any conventional sense, yet I was aware of their positions and functions. When I attempted to move, to speak, to resist, nothing happened. My body, or what remained of it, did not respond to my commands. I was looking out through the eyes of a servitor. My consciousness had been preserved, downloaded into a machine body that operated according to its programming rather than my will. I was a passenger in my own mechanized corpse, aware but unable to control anything. The servitor, my servitor, moved through the processing facility with mechanical precision, performing tasks without hesitation or error. It approached a meat hook, removed a carcass, positioned it on a cutting table. My cutting table, the one where I had worked for years. My mechanical hands lifted the servo cutter. Through augmetic eyes, I examined the meat before me. It bore the distinctive pallor of the flesh I had processed countless times before, the flesh I now knew came from my fellow prisoners. With horrifying clarity, I recognized the tattoo visible on one section, prisoner 8734 Omega, who had worked three stations down from mine for over a year. The servo cutter descended, separating meat from bone with perfect efficiency. No hesitation. No revulsion, no choice. My programming directed every movement while my consciousness screamed in silent horror. I recognized other prisoners brought before my cutting table, former companions, rivals, faces that had shared the processing floor with me now reduced to meat beneath my mechanical hands, days passed, or perhaps weeks. Time lost meaning when sleep never came, when shifts never ended. The servitor body required no rest, no oxygen, no sustenance beyond occasional maintenance. The meat hooks never stopped, and neither did I, the perfect worker, the ultimate expression of imperial efficiency. Sometimes Overseer Drack would pause at my station, observing my work with that same cold smile, he knew. Somehow he knew that consciousness remained trapped within the servitor's shell. His eyes met my augmetic ones with cruel understanding. His favorite joke had come true in the worst possible way. I was indeed on the hook, but still aware, still processing, still serving. The commissar returned periodically, evaluating production metrics and servitor performance. My unit consistently received high efficiency ratings, the perfect fusion of human butchering skill and mechanical precision, a success story in the endless ledgers of the Adeptus Munitorum. New prisoners arrived at the facility, taking their places at the processing stations. They looked at the servitors with disgust and fear, not realizing they were glimpsing their own futures. They processed the meat without questioning its origin, just as I once had. They earned their oxygen, endured their nocturnal harvests, and eventually joined the meat supply themselves, either piece by piece or all at once. Mago Xerxes occasionally visited the processing floor, his optical array examining the servitors with professional pride. His experiment in consciousness preservation had succeeded beyond expectation. The human mind, properly contained and isolated, could power a servitor unit indefinitely without the degradation that typically occurred in standard lobotomized subjects. My horror was the source of my longevity. Years passed in mechanical servitude. The meat hooks never stopped, the processing never ended. Prisoners came and went, their flesh eventually passing beneath my cutting blade. Through it all, my consciousness remained trapped, aware, screaming in silence. This is the truth of Tarsinus V. We are not merely penal laborers serving our sentences through honest work. We are livestock harvested while still productive, our bodies recycled into the imperial machine. The meat that feeds the Astra Militarum, the servitors that maintain the hive worlds, the combat units that die on distant battlefields, all grown from the flesh of the condemned. The Imperium wastes nothing. Not even suffering. I processed the meat before me with mechanical precision. I identify the components suitable for ration packs and those destined for servitor creation. I separate tissue from bone, organ from muscle. I perform my function without error or hesitation, and through it all I remain aware, trapped, eternal. The meat shift never ends, and neither do I.